Welcome back to the Deep Dive. If you've ever looked back at your first serious relationship and wondered, did everyone else feel that that level of intensity?
Or maybe what was even the point of all that drama?
Exactly. If that's you, then this Deep Dive is for you. Today, we're wading into the intensely dramatic and statistically fascinating world of high school relationships.
And it's a perfect topic because these relationships are really our first, most serious explorations of commitment, you know, and heartbreak and trying to resolve conflict.
Yeah.
We've synthesized the data on how long they last, really looking past the emotions to find the cold, hard facts.
So what's our mission here?
To understand not just the duration, but the absolutely critical role they play in shaping our future relationship skills.
Okay, and we have to start with this fundamental paradox. It's the big aha fact that defines this whole conversation. And you, the listener, need to get this right away. The commitment level is, it's enormous. Surveys consistently show that a massive 84% of high school relationships are defined by the teens themselves as exclusive.
As committed. They're deeply serious about these connections. They're acting in good faith. They really believe this connection is, you know, forever.
But the data tells a completely different story.
A radically different story about longevity. When researchers track these same couples into adulthood, the number that actually end in marriage is just, well, it's astonishingly small.
And that number is what?
Studies suggest it's only about 2%.
2%?
Just 2% of high school relationships make it all the way to the altar. It's the ultimate outlier, which means 98% of these intense, exclusive connections.
The ones that feel like the center of the universe.
Right. They simply do not go the distance.
Wow, 2%. So if they aren't going the distance, what does that short life even look like? Let's unpack this. How long are they actually lasting?
Okay, so the duration is extremely sensitive to age. I mean, teenagers are going through such rapid developmental change. The difference between being 13 and 17 is just massive.
And that shows up in the relationship timeline.
It's reflected directly in it.
Okay, so lay it out for us. How does that maturity curve affect how long they spend together?
Researchers have established some pretty clear tiers. For the early teens, say around 12 or 13 years old, they're just figuring out dating.
The mechanics of it.
Exactly. And those relationships last approximately 5 months.
5 months. So a semester. It's intense, focused, and then it's over.
Pretty much. Then you move into the mid-teens, 14 to 15, and they have slightly better communication skills. The average duration rises to around 8 months.
Okay, that makes sense.
But here's where it gets a little weird. At age 16, the duration often drops slightly. It hovers around 6 months again.
Wait, a dip? Why would a 16-year-old who's, you know, more mature than a 15-year-old have a shorter relationship? That seems counterintuitive.
It's likely tied to shifting priorities and new freedoms. At 16, you might get your driver's license. You might start your first serious job.
Oh, right. The anxiety of college applications starts to hit.
All of it. That shift from just, you know, being in your local social world to dealing with real adult responsibilities, it puts huge stress on a relationship built on shared classes.
That makes so much more sense. The stress of approaching independence is actually fracturing the connection.
Right. And the longest duration, that happens with the older teens, 17 to 18. Here, relationships become much more exclusive, much more serious, and they can last closer to 1 or even 2 years.
But still, even 2 years is a pretty short window in a whole lifetime.
Very short window.
And I think I saw data confirming this pattern that as they get older, the relationships get more emotionally intimate, and so they last longer. Yeah. That maturity is the key ingredient.
It is. And that lack of maturity when you're making these huge commitments, it's reflected everywhere. I mean, look at the CDC's cautionary stats about young marriage.
What do they say?
Marriages under the age of 18, they carry a 10% breakup risk after only 1 year.
10% in year one. Wow.
And that risk skyrockets to 29% after just 5 years. It's that combination of an early legal commitment with a still developing emotional brain. Just spells instability.
So if the average relationship is measured in months, not years, and the long-term success rate is so, so low, it brings us to the core question, why?
Right. What's driving all these breakups?
What are the 5 core issues at play here?
Well, we can group them into internal developmental challenges and then external environmental pressures.
Okay.
The first core issue is developmental. Teens are still fundamentally learning what love is.
They're just figuring it out.
They're navigating what responsibility and trust and respect even mean. And because their emotional regulation is still developing, a minor disagreement can feel
catastrophic.
Totally catastrophic. And it triggers a split up.
And what's really fascinating here is who is actually driving that split.
It is almost always the teen themselves. Data shows that in a massive 77% of teen breakups, it's the teenager who initiates the end.
So they're actively controlling their own learning process, deciding when it's run its course, even if it hurts.
Yes. Okay, so that's the internal learning curve. The second reason is more external.
Which is?
A sheer lack of tolerance for big changes. High school relationships really thrive on proximity and routine.
Right, seeing each other in the halls every day.
Exactly. So major life transitions, graduation, moving for school, a first full-time job, these are huge stressors. And if a couple doesn't have, you know, years of history to fall back on, these changes just alter everything.
And that leads right into the third issue, which is just that relentless clock of being a teenager. The rapid growth and change.
Absolutely. I mean, just think about the person you were at 15 versus 18.
A totally different person.
Fundamentally different, with completely different goals. A couple might bond over sports at 16, but if one partner decides their future is engineering school three states away and the other wants to stay local,
they just drift apart.
They've grown into two different people.
So it's not that the relationship is failing, it's just being outgrown.
That is a much healthier way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth point is very external. Social impacts and pressure.
From friends.
Friends, classmates, social media comparisons. Teens are so influenced by their peer group. If all your friends hate your partner, or if your relationship doesn't look perfect online, that pressure can force a breakup.
Or, weirdly, force you to stay together longer than you should.
Precisely. The pressure to perform the perfect relationship. It's a burden previous generations just didn't have.
Okay, and the fifth core issue.
It's the background environment, family and communication skills, where a teen learns how to communicate matters so much.
A supportive home life.
Right. Homes where conflict is handled constructively, they teach better problem-solving skills, and that naturally leads to more stable bonds.
And the research really backs that up, doesn't it?
It does. It shows that teens from stable two-parent homes until at least age 14 are statistically more likely to have early marriages that actually last. That foundation is critical.
That's like the environment provides the blueprint. Okay, let's flip this. If only 2% make it, what about the exceptions? What traits do the longer-lasting couples share?
They basically exhibit the same core traits that make adult relationships successful. They just establish them earlier.
So number one is
good communication. And this isn't just chatting. It means they talk openly about difficult stuff, they actually listen, and they build trust by navigating problems together.
So the ability to get through a fight, not just avoid one, what's the second trait?
Shared values and goals. This is critical, especially when you're facing that rapid growth challenge we talked about.
Right.
Couples who have similar interests or goals, academics, sports, faith, they find it easier to grow with each other instead of being pulled in opposite directions.
And the third trait kind of elevates that shared journey into a real partnership.
Yeah, supporting each other's growth. It's about being a team. They actively encourage each other's interests and future plans.
So if one person is focused on college applications, the other is cheering them on, not resenting the lost time.
Exactly. That mutual investment strengthens the connection. And the fourth trait. It's the most pragmatic one. And it's often the reason most of them end.
Let me guess. Distance?
Proximity is non-negotiable. Distance is just intolerable at this stage. Relationships are way more likely to last when couples stay in the same school or city or go to the same college.
And the data on what happens when they don't is just crushing. I saw that NIH study you mentioned. It's brutal.
Brutal is the right word. That study found about 37% of high school couples who try long-distance breakup, specifically during their first semester of college.
First 3 months.
New environment, new people, the distance.
Yeah.
It's a stress test they're almost always unprepared for.
It's like that first taste of real independence is often the death knell.
Okay, let's go back to that ultimate exception, the 2%. You said they make it to marriage, but are they stable? Let's talk about that 54% number.
This is a number that should give everyone pause. High school sweethearts who do get married face a significantly higher divorce rate.
Higher than average.
Much higher. We are talking about 54% of these early marriages ending in divorce within 10 years.
54%. And just to put that in perspective for you, the listener, that's way higher than the 32% national average over that same time.
Yeah.
Why is that specific group so unstable?
It's the convergence of things. First, they often haven't finished their own individual development. They haven't figured out who they are outside of the we.
Right.
And second, they face immense financial strain early on. They're trying to build careers, finish school, and navigate huge money decisions while they're still maturing.
So it's basically two works in progress trying to build a skyscraper together. That's a perfect analogy. The risk is just so high. And that's why we need to shift our focus away from duration, which is short, to impact, which is long.
Okay, so what value do teens get from the relationships that crash and burn in 6 months? What are the lifelong lessons that justify all that emotional turmoil?
Oh, the lessons are genuinely indispensable. They build healthier adults. First, they gain empathy and emotional growth.
Learning to care about someone else's feelings.
For the first time, yeah. Seeing how their own words and actions affect a partner. Learning to compromise on date night or how to give a real apology. That's essential.
And crucially, they also learn self-protection.
Exactly. That's the second lesson. Understanding personal boundaries. This is massive. They learn what feels right, what they will accept, and where their lines are.
The right to say no.
The absolute right to say no. And that translates directly into, you know, professional success, friendships, everything.
So they're learning negotiation and self-respect at the same time.
Precisely. And lesson three is just about durability. Breakups teach strength and resilience. It's painful, but navigating heartbreak is a necessary experience. It provides emotional maturity.
That ability to bounce back is probably the greatest practical skill.
It is. And the final lesson is just pure experience for the future. These relationships are practice rounds.
Right.
Practice in communication, in managing expectations. You learn what you need in a partner by dating someone who doesn't have it. These early experiences help you avoid major mistakes later on.
And what's great is that teens themselves seem to recognize this. There was that research on young Australians, right?
Yeah, even after breakups, they rated the overall value of their relationships in about 8.5 out of 10. They feel the positive impact, even if it didn't last.
That perspective is so important, which is why we should probably debunk a few common myths.
Definitely.
Okay, myth number one, the one everyone thinks is true.
That high school relationships never last. It's false. I mean, it's the norm for them to be short, but some go on for years, and we know that 2% do get married. It's rare, but not impossible.
Myth number two, first love is always true love.
Also false. First love is special because it teaches you what love feels like. But later relationships are often much stronger because they're built on the lessons learned from that first one.
And the third myth, the one that can be so devastating for a teen, breakups mean failure.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Breakups are stepping stones. Every relationship gives you information about what you want and what you need. Failure isn't the opposite of success here. It's a prerequisite for it.
That's a great frame for dealing with the heartache. Now, as we've talked about all this intense learning, we do have to transition to a crucial and sometimes uncomfortable reality.
Yeah.
Not all of these relationships are safe.
This is a critical point. And it's why knowing the resources is so important. The statistics here are sobering. 45% of Canadian teens aged 15-17 report experiencing some form of dating violence.
45%. And that's not just physical, right?
No, it includes emotional abuse, controlling behavior, digital harassment. It's a huge spectrum.
That number is just staggering. So for anyone listening, a teen, a parent, a friend, where are the essential safety resources for help?
Okay, there are four key national resources. First, Love is Respect. They have a confidential 24/7 text and phone hotline.
That's huge.
Second, the CDC Teen Dating Violence Resources page. It's great for facts and prevention tools. Third, the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE.
Okay.
And finally, Planned Parenthood. They have fantastic teen-friendly information on consent, communication, all of it. Knowing these lifelines exist is paramount.
So this deep dive has shown us that high school relationships are, you know, statistically short-lived but functionally crucial. They're these intense learning labs.
Exactly. The value is overwhelmingly in the lessons learned, not in the duration. We know only 2% lead to marriage, and those marriages have a 54% divorce rate within 10 years, a much higher risk of failure.
So if the greatest benefits, the emotional growth, the boundaries, the communication skills, are all acquired in the relationship itself, and the risk of turning that early connection into a lifelong commitment is so high.
Well, it raises a powerful question for you, the listener, to consider. Given that the odds are so stacked against them lasting, does this data imply that the healthiest high school relationship is, paradoxically, one that teaches you everything you need?
But
purposefully concludes before you have to shoulder those heavy adult responsibilities? what statistically and developmentally is the optimal time for it to be over?
A truly provocative thought to leave you with. Is the perfect high school relationship the one that ends? Thank you for diving deep with us today. We'll catch you next time.